Welcome to Sports 1140
AHD. Good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and
drive. Attacking run-of-the-mill morning show
with Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Kenny Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
At 6:02, right on the dot, according to our clock in here. Dave, Katie, and Nate, The Drive.
Well, actually, it's 6:01 and 56 seconds on the dot.
It's theater of the
mind.
Did
you think it was going to take you 7 seconds to say that?
Well,
is that what it was?
People will see in about 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
When Pete Rose joins us, oftentimes.
How slow time can actually go.
Time can slow down quite a bit. Yes, that's right. Pete Rose will be joining us at 7:30. Now, we'll pull back the curtain enough to say that we taped this yesterday because I think Pete's traveling today.
He's
or
traveling,
something.
Yeah.
Traveling bard.
So we recorded the whole thing yesterday, and well, it's just flat out the dumbest thing I've ever done in broadcasting. and I've done a lot of stupid stuff over the decade plus I've been here.
And we all gotta wear it every now and then.
This is where I really wish that we had like a video in this building while, like, you know, to record our reaction when something happens, because your reaction to this complete mess up was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was one of those, you put your whole hand on your mouth and your eyes were wide open, and it was like, oh, no.
I was mortified for days.
Yep. No.
It's a tough one. I mean, I know, Katie, you've been doing the TV and stuff, and you mentioned this morning you've had a couple of awkward situations.
There's been some awkward ones.
But, you know, you sit here doing this for 3 hours every day for over a couple of years. I mean, I haven't even been doing it that long, and I've got a couple of epic ones.
Yeah.
Just exactly like that.
And
it's fun.
Off.
Yep. You want to shoot yourself.
Yeah. It happens. And you know, you can either hide from it or you can wear it. So we'll have a whole post-mortem afterwards.
Yes.
We'll do the Zapruder film. We'll probably have a diagram out. And you may not be able to see my reaction, but and we'll intro this when we get there. But you'll be able to hear it. You'll be able to hear it in the first question, as I basically go da-da-da-da-da-da, and then just crap out some horrible question to start out the interview. And then thank God this is not a one person. This is a three person show. So
because you would have been
you both got in there long enough for me to go outside, beat myself silly, punch myself in the face,
hyperventilating in a paper bag.
Yes. To be fair, since we did record it, it's one of those things where these little slip ups happen. I was super impressed that you weren't like, no, we got to redo that. We got to redo that.
You know me.
But
you know me well enough to know I have no problems poking fun at myself.
I will also say I don't know that you ever truly 100% recovered through the whole interview.
No, Katie, I'll go a step further. I still haven't recovered.
Oh my God, you're traumatized.
I started out with the wrong time. I may never be the same. I have like interview PTSD. That's fine.
And for it to happen with Pete Rose, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Johnny Hustle, right?
My dad will hear this.
Charlie.
Yes,
Johnny Hustle.
That's an old joke,
that's a
big... I actually had thought about... We were with a... Wow, I hadn't thought about that till just now. We were on an old morning show together. And one of our fellow hosts referred to Pete Rose as Johnny Hustle. And, of course, he's Charlie Hustle. And we never let him live that down. And to be honest with you, Johnny Hustle.
I love Johnny Hustle.
Not as bad as what I did.
Yeah.
Not as bad as what I did. So there's that. So, hey, wherever you are out there, we're even now. So good for you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. So we have Pete Rose coming up. We have the NBA playoffs, obviously, Toronto, Miami, and in a series that you have referred to as the NBA's version of the Hunger Games,
yes,
Katie.
Yes, people getting murked left and right.
You've been saying murked all morning. I don't know what that
word
means.
Word-a-day calendar.
What is murked?
I mean,
Is that like
Merc'd, like
jacked,
taken out,
just
like
destroyed?
Yeah,
destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Right. Like I Merc some like a Chipotle burrito every once in a while. Like
you
Merc
just Merc that thing.
Yeah.
As Mari Stoudemire once said to me, "Oh, do the interview. I need to crush this hot dog real quick." It was the first time I ever
seriously
heard. Yeah, he said, "I need to crush this hot dog real quick," and he crushed it while I sat there. I'd never heard that. I've used that term now, but I'd never heard that for eating. I need to crush this.
Crush
so
this.
Merc.
Merc.
All right, these kids and their vocabulary.
But you can't say Merc.
Merc.
You gotta say Merc'd.
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 All right, so that happened. People are getting injured left and right. And then you had the Warriors and the Blazers and all that. That's a fun series.
You had the Warriors and the Blazers, indeed.
It was that is about the closest, most entertaining five-game series I've seen.
Yeah, I can easily see the balance of power shifting in the West with, you know, San Antonio, I think, is going to be just fine ultimately, but that Portland team is not going away anytime soon.
No, they're not.
They're just going to get better. They got a great coach, and, I mean, what can you say about Damian Lillard?
Maybe. We'll see what free agency brings for them, too, because after they lost four of their five starters last season, they weren't necessarily a destination for free agents, but to see what they've been able to do with the roster that they have, I think they're going to be able to convince a couple good free agents to sign on to that team.
We say that, you know, Terry Stotts technically now is they're going to work on a deal. It's already been announced that Portland and Stotts will work on an extension. So any thoughts of unless something absolutely, you know,
weirder things have happened.
Yes. And that's why I stumble there, because it could happen. But my goodness, after everything that happened, you could make a serious. Yeah, he could be good. You made a great argument. He could be coach of the year. You're not.
I think he was coach of the year. But then you know the Warriors broke the all time wins record, and you know the last time that happened, Phil got coach of the year as well. So it's kind of like okay, you had to give it to him.
I don't know if I'm right about this, but I think I am. You guys remember the last coach of the year that got fired?
George Karl.
Yeah, George Karl.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was that so? Lionel Hollins was before that.
I believe so. Okay. Yeah, because wasn't
George Karl?
Karl
was they like, might have
been,
what, like, years,
they might have been
ago.
Like one, two.
Yeah. It was right there. So it wouldn't be the first time, but I think Terry. Yeah, I have no problems believing Terry Stotts will be in Portland for the foreseeable future. So you have that. Max Scherzer did something that really only three other dudes have done. Of course, one of them twice. 20 strikeouts in a game yesterday. It's Randy Johnson, Kerry Wood of the Cubs, and then Roger Clemens did it twice.
Yeah.
And Scherzer, who, by the way, I love Max Scherzer. I absolutely love
him. You just like looking into his eyes.
His eyes are so rad and
like
weird.
A wolf.
He's a husky. He's a Washington husky. That's he plays for the Nationals. I'm surprised that's not his nickname. The dude has two crazy. Well, he has one normal eye, and then he has like the crazy like husky eye.
He has a blue eye and a dark brown eye. It's almost like so dark that it's almost so dark that it's like black. But yes, yeah. Leave it alone, Nate. Leave it alone, Dave.
Dave,
get
what?
Your mind out of the
what
gutter.
What are you talking about? 608. Time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group. 791-1737. Regardless of what color his eyes are, he's a damned fine pitcher when he's on. And the only thing that's really plagued Max Scherzer over the last few years is he's prone to games that have really nothing to do with his talent at all. He will just sometimes gas can out of nowhere. But God dang, is he one of the more reliable badassy pitchers in the game?
That's the risk you take when you just, I don't know, strike guys out all the time. Like, hey, if they do make contact, maybe something will happen with it.
That's what happened yesterday. Two runs on two solo shots from Detroit. That's you put Wood on ball there, and things happen. But then we'll talk about it today. It's a great quote by me. You put Wood on ball, and things happen.
Mm-hmm.
That being said,
almost as good as my brown eye.
That was super intelligent. See, Jay, that was Katie, by the way. As we were good. What does
it
all?
Yeah.
See, thank you. Appreciate it. So we'll talk about that and then try to compare, really, how do 20 strikeouts in a game for a pitcher, what would be the equivalent of that or close to the equivalent of that in other sports? We were trying to figure that out before the show started. What would that, how many points would that be, or boards or assists in basketball? What would that be in football from a quarterback, running back, or wide receiver spot? And
is it better
baseball
than any of these like big performances in other sports?
I would challenge you guys to find a stronger individual feat in a team sport.
in a team sport.
That's true.
Because I immediately went to tennis, but I'm like, how do you compute that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, golf, like, you know, guys shooting in the low 60s and stuff. There's things like that. But like the, if you know, 20 strikeouts, what's your catcher's calling pitches?
The
right?
closest I can come is 4.5 home runs in a game. And I say that very
4.5
because five yeah, like never happens. I think it happened in a doubleheader once. Somebody hit five, but five right. never happens. And four almost never happens, but it's happened
more than
times
20
than 20 strikeouts. So somebody succeeds in hitting 4.5 home runs. You're right. Team sport, individual accomplishment.
Now I would throw this at you too. In that case, let's get really deep into this here.
Joe.
Like if you hit four home runs here, at least two of them are probably going to be off the same pitcher, right? If not
sure,
three,
probably.
You're getting repeated opportunities. Like I guess as a pitcher, you do get two or three shots at those guys,
yeah.
but you're rifling. You have to go through the lineup three, four times. You're facing nine guys as opposed to just one, two, or three pitchers.
Well, and generally, lineups will improve against a pitcher the more they see him in a ball game and get used to
more
his stuff. So
him.
To be able to continue to do that is pretty amazing. And to your point about the home runs, you're right. The more at-bats you get against a pitcher, the more likely you are statistically to have success or at least put bat on ball.
If you're professional.
Against that pitcher. So, yeah, I don't know. That is tough, too. You're right, because even in basketball, if you go with points – you could argue that, in baseball, the strikeout.
I'm not hitting like 45 free throws in a game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're not relying on your fielders in strikeouts.
Yeah.
So if Kobe scored 81 points.
Kobe's 81 would be the closest because I remember four dudes just watching him try to score during that game.
Yeah, because that really was like just a
the goal.
One-person game right there.
Seven touchdowns, somebody says.
I can't qualify anything in football because it has just as much to do with the coaching staff as it does the people on the field too.
Well,
a running back with a big, you know, he's got to have a line in front of him.
A pitcher though is you're on an island by yourself, like you really are. And now, granted, once you release it and whatever happens when it gets to the plate and if they get a hit, then you're relying on your team to kind of come up with things. But you really are at 96.
You're missing
strikes.
Bats. Like you're just making you don't even need a defense.
Yeah, exactly.
How about shooting a 59 in golf?
That's pretty solid.
Now we get into individual sports. Now you got me going on that. We'll take a break. Obviously, we'll talk about Max Scherzer today. Hey, we'll also talk about the Warriors and Blazers. Let's get to that series next. And whether or not Golden State showed a little bit of weakness and are LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and, perhaps even Tony Parker and LaMarcus Aldridge, are they licking their chops right now or are we all just fooling ourselves and it's the Warriors' world and we just live in it? We'll do that next. This is Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
I turn the Ritz into a poor house. It's like eviction number four now. Go ahead and ash it on the floor now. Show me how you go down. And I feel my whole body peeking. And I'm f***ing anybody with their legs. Why getting faded with some f***ing from the west side, east coast. The rapper north side, never waste a whole time. I'm on my own time, rig a cosign. Always change my number and my phone line. Baby girl, I don't lie. Used to have no money for a crib. Now my room service bill costs your whole life. If they try to stop me, I go all out military.
Not for nothing. It's a drive, by the way. If you're noticing I'm moving weird today, which you probably haven't, because how often do you really notice how somebody moves and I don't move a lot anyways?
Not on the radio.
Especially on the radio.
It's not on the YouTube, but yeah. Oh. I threw I don't even know how this works. Katie, you're the back expert.
Yeah.
I threw out my back right back yesterday. I don't even know what this is. I'm a stand.
Is it your lower?
Oh, you mean your rear?
Oh,
right.
Oh, yours is like more near your shoulder blade.
Is that the?
Yeah. How'd you do it?
I turned 40 in August, and
turned 40.
I turned.
What muscle is that? Is that the deltoid?
I don't know
what it is.
No, I thought the deltoid was on your arm, like this thing.
I'm not sure.
It's in my back. It's right beneath my shoulder blade.
Yeah, that's.
And I can't
It's your rib, I think.
I can't bend over at the knees without massive pain. I know.
That's all right. Just kneel.
This is a great reason. You know, we talk about. We talk about why. it's good that you guys don't have kids sometimes. Yesterday,
yes.
Yesterday was open house, mm-hmm. which is great. You all right, Katie? It was
She's
great.
Not.
Jay still hasn't said leave it alone yet. I'm the only. Jay, can I just for the record? I'm the
Keep
only
going,
one
CD.
Being a pro today. I've been good all day. Open house is great. It's
you
wonderful.
Mean for school,
yes.
Right? Okay.
You see your kids' projects that they've done all year. All the stuff they've worked on. It's phenomenal. I have two kids. We go from one classroom to the other. My daughter is OCD as it gets and has to show us everything. So it's basically 30 minutes in each class, and at first it's really awesome, and then by the 20th minute you're like, oh wow, that's a really poor drawing of a leaf. Like, this is great. Can I see your poor drawing of something else and this misspelled word that I want to tell you about? But
oh my gosh, that person.
I don't say it, but after a while you go from, oh my god, I'm filled with pride. Look at my children; they've grown. Look at all the stuff they're doing. To oh god, just, and my wife and I are like peering at each other over my kids while they're doing their stuff and
right.
making like little gunshot to the temple.
If I see one more picture that doesn't make any sense, going to
exactly
like the picture that you showed me that of Mason. He drew the flower.
Yeah, he drew a rose. The problem is when you turn it upside down, it doesn't look like a rose.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly.
Yeah,
what.
Yeah, it looks. I don't have the sound effect.
It looks
but
like Michael Jordan's mustache would be proud of it.
A little bit.
Okay.
So anyway, so they have these hanging from the ceiling on string. They have these hanging pictures, and they cut them out around them of each kid, right? And so my son, you know, my son's in like this superhero pose, and he's hanging, and so he got to bring it home. You get to bring all your stuff home. So I lifted him up to pull down his picture.
Oh, my gosh, and that's what happened to your
and
back.
I almost immediately dropped him. And my back was gone. And that was at the beginning of the open house.
Gotta lift with your knees, Dave.
It's never happened to me before. I don't know what the muscle is. I could not sleep well last night. I'm old, and it sucks, and it's stupid, and I don't like it.
What's up with your form, man? I mean, you gotta.
I just picked him
up.
The
legs. Like, you gotta, you get down.
Apparently, I've never had to deal with that before.
No? You've never thrown your back out?
No. Right. I've had like, you know, my lower back. I had sciatica once.
My sciatica.
10 years ago. I have to go to a chiropractor now, but it's my upper, like, right back. It's like where a lung is or something.
It might be your rib. Moving on.
Anyways.
Because the chances of you having bad lungs are slim.
Slim just left the building. But I don't think my lung would get bad by lifting my son suddenly. I don't think that's how it metastasizes or whatever the term is. Anyways, speaking of injuries, Toronto, Miami, this is the survival of the I don't know. You look at the other series going on.
This is bench survival is what it is.
Seriously.
As each player drops, it's like what player on their bench is going to be able to step up and fill in. And the crazy thing is that they've been able to take this series to, I mean, what they're up one game right now. It's 3-2. And they've had Toronto's up 3-2. They've had three of the five games have gone into overtime. And I was sitting there yesterday and I was like, this game's going to overtime, dang it. But DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry really haven't played all that well. So I think that is kind of a nod to their bench.
Well, and you have Hassan Whiteside out and hurting for Miami.
But for Miami. And you've got Valanciunas out
for Toronto,
who I thought was the best player in the series so far.
It's really unfortunate because, well, I don't know about unfortunate is the right word, but when you look at the three series going on, well, Golden State's done, but as of last night, the three series going on, I don't care if it was five games, Golden State and Portland, that was an entertaining series.
It was. Yeah.
And I believe other than game one, I saw this last night, Portland had the lead every half of every game in that series other than game one.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Spurs and Oklahoma City, that's the showcase series of the playoffs right now. Cleveland and LeBron have been eating popcorn and dipping dots for a week now and doing their thing. You look at Toronto and Miami, and it just is this a bad series, or is this a series that looks worse compared to every other series going on?
It's not fun to watch, even though the games technically have been entertaining in the sense of I mentioned the overtime.
It's a close score, and that's where it ends. It's kind of a throwback series to some of the worst days of like the early to mid 2000s of NBA basketball.
Knicks, Miami.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, if there was hand checking, this would be the 90s
sure.
in this series. I mean, you've got the Raptors. they're supposed to be like the team-oriented, move the ball type of thing. Right. They're not in this series. Yeah. It's about Lowry and DeRozan chucking up shots. The Heat, they've got...
They're both trying to shoot themselves out of a slump.
Exactly. This feels like the Pistons and the Pacers from 10 years ago. It's just, I don't know, it's not a good brand, man. And I would say Toronto for this, because the Heat have tried to drag a better team down to their level and have been moderately successful. I didn't know going into this series if Toronto would be able to handle that. The Heat are kind of like the LA Rams right now, or a Jeff Fisher team, where they're not particularly good, but they can drag you down to their level and possibly beat you in a dogfight.
Sure.
Like, that's just kind of how they do it. And credit to the Raptors for being able to rise above that. I didn't think they had the star power to.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because I think that's a very salient point about Miami dragging you down. It's very much like it's like a couple of boxers, and you have one guy that's the speed jab guy, the other guy that's the fight in a phone booth guy, and oftentimes the winner of that fight is going to be the one that can get the other to play his style, that can fight his style. And that's what you see, I think, with Toronto Miami, is this clash of styles. Whoever dictates the pace, the tempo, and the style, it is going to have the more success.
I think it was game four when I'm watching it and I'm sitting there going, one of you, one team, please just move the ball from one side of the court to the other. Like it felt
like junior high
ball reversal.
Yes. And they just kept doing like a high kind of pick and roll and trying to get into the paint. And I'm like, please, somebody just swing the ball. See what happens. This is freaking painful to watch right now.
Not for nothing. Jason Thompson, 2 points, 3 boards in just 10 minutes last night. Getting some playoff run.
And still a great hair.
He almost broke Goran Dragic's back.
Good for him.
Almost broke it.
Does Jason Thompson get a ring if the Warriors win the whole thing?
That's a very good question, honestly. I don't know how all that works.
I don't either. I don't know what the rule is. Like, do you have to play? Is there a rule? You have to play X amount of games? Is it just whatever the organization decides, maybe? All right, we'll check that out during the break. And speaking of the Warriors, if you're the Warriors now, you go back, you sit on your couch, Steph Curry gets a little bit more time to recover. Here's my question for you guys at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, the text line, 44-1140. And, hey, even in this room, who do you want to see in the next round if you're the Golden State Warriors? We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hey, baby. Your heart's too big to be treated small.
125, 121, Warriors over the Blazers. That series is done.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard and company did their best.
Yeah, and you know what? He had probably his worst game of the playoffs.
7-24, 12-12 from the line, but 7-24 for Lillard. 28 points, 7 boards, 7 assists, 5 turnovers. Allen Crabb, though, 20 points off the bench. It was 5-7 from behind the arc. And they you look at the Blazers and the fact that they lost five games. Can you think any other way other than, my God, what an amazingly successful season for that team?
Are you kidding me? People had them for fewer than 30 wins.
Yeah,
prior to the season, I remember looking at it as I was trying to predict what the Kings were going to be able to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't have them up, 45 wins or anything, but I'm thinking, okay, what playoff spots are going to be up for grabs? You know, Portland, they're out. They lost all those starters. They're done. You know, Phoenix is not in the playoffs, whatever. Kind of boiled it down to, okay, the Kings will maybe be one of two or three teams fighting for the 8th spot. Well, Houston ended up sucking.
Right.
And Portland's doing this. Dallas was better than some people expected.
Utah was surprisingly good with their roster, considering all the injuries they had. That was the one that you were like, okay, how is that going to happen?
Yeah, they just blew everyone away. And it shows what you can do when you keep things simple, right? You have a star player, you got another good guard with him, and you got a bunch of big dudes that know their role.
Yeah. And everybody is all in. That culture there maintained after losing, as you said, 4 starters from last year. There was a time, you talk about the Kings and the Blazers, where we were looking middle of the season and the Kings were at or ahead of the Blazers in the play. And you're thinking, okay, well, the Kings could get the 8th spot ahead of the Blazers. And then the Blazers just got it together. They meshed. And they managed to slam through, and then here they were, giving the Warriors all they could for 5 games.
And you look at who the Blazers lost, too. If I'm not mistaken, you let Batum.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, well, he's doing fairly well. Mm-hmm. Can't blame him for what he decided to do. Robin Lopez and
Matthews.
Wes Matthews.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 4 years, five. I mean, it was Dame Lillard, and then
Nicholas Batum, by the way, is going to get paid this offseason.
Sure,
because Charlotte was the first team to say, "Hey, man, well, you know, why don't we see what you can do? Can you do more than stand on the wing and shoot threes?" And lo and behold, he can. So at least two of those guys are dudes that are in their prime or entering their prime. You know, Matthews is probably going away from it, and Robin Lopez is a decent player. But
Robin Lopez is Robin Lopez. Mm-hmm. He's valuable, but he's not superstar.
Yeah.
I will say this, watching the game last night, and this is just dumb guy on the couch watching, but
You didn't have to give us that qualifier.
What?
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Hey, thank you. Uh-huh. Appreciate that. My back hurts. I feel like this game would have been a lot easier for the Warriors it was weird. The Warriors are really good at recognizing when one of their splash brothers is on fire. Klay Thompson had that look last night. It was the same. It's that 37 point and a quarter look. Klay Thompson was ridiculous last night, and even though he missed four shots, he was 13-17.
That's like it almost did 80%.
Right,
that's crazy.
I don't even. It's weird to me that he even missed four shots. Every time the guy got the ball, it seemed, and shot, the thing went in. Yet he took 17 shots. Steph Curry took 20. And I understand the Warriors know in order to win a championship, Steph Curry has to be playing at an optimal level. But it just seemed like had Klay Thompson gotten 25 to 30 shots last night, this would have been an 18-point blowout.
Yeah. But I think one of the stranger things about that game is that Andrew Bogut played 9 minutes.
Yeah, Andrew, he had a strained adductor.
Yeah, but it's like it's one of those things where, to me, they can miss a guy. Like, we saw what they did when Steph went down. Andrew Bogut is a big piece of that team. I just feel like when one guy goes down, somebody else steps up. They have the, in my opinion, the best bench in the NBA.
I agree with that.
And the fact that you can do it with a bunch of kind of role players in that sense. Like, Spates, I think, is one of the best, you know, contributors on their team. What he did last season, and then this season, he hasn't contributed as much. But when they need him, he steps up.
Well, you have Maurice Spates. You have Festus, or as Ron Artest said earlier this week, Fozzie Bear, Azalea, whatever you call him. You have Festus Ezeli. Yeah, you had Spates. And then you had Anderson Varejao, who played 5 minutes. But in his 5 minutes, 2 points and two assists.
And that's just the bigs.
I'm talking about, you know, filling in for a guy like Bogut. And you're right. When you've got guys like Sean Livingston, who we've talked about this before, but completely resurrected his career after one of the most horrific knee injuries you'll ever see. Andre Iguodala, who played 30 minutes, but having a guy like Iguodala come off the bench, you know, last year's finals MVP, coming off the bench second year in a row and having zero problems with that. You're absolutely right. And now the Warriors advance. They're sitting in the Western Conference Finals, as expected, waiting for whomever. So you're Steve Kerr. Who do you want to see? You want to see the Spurs? You want to see the Thunder?
I'd rather see the Spurs. The Thunder scare me right now. I mean, it's those two wild cards, man, with Durant and Westbrook. I would not be betting against the superstar power right now. I don't care how good the Spurs were in the regular season.
It's so hard for me to choose because the Spurs, their reputation alone is one of those things where it's like they've got role players, they've got great veteran players, they've got great new star power, you've got Greg Popovich. Like, they're so good, but yet you're starting to see a little bit of their weaknesses. And I saw an interesting stat a little bit ago. Under Greg Popovich, the Spurs are 2-10 in elimination games.
On the road.
Yeah, I mean, they're going into this game against Oklahoma City, who, by the way, right now, despite all their weaknesses, they're playing extremely confident.
They're peaking at the right time.
They're peaking at the right time, exactly.
Which was exactly what you and I talked about, Nate, before the playoffs started.
When we predicted the Thunder over the Spurs,
we said they were peaking at the right time.
More obviously than the players peaking, it seems like Billy Donovan's peaking. You know,
I'm still not convinced on how much credit he gets for this.
I'm not completely either, but what I saw over the last couple of games is that he seems to be making adjustments that are helping his team.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that was ever noticeable with Scott Brooks. They would win games, but there weren't too many times where I said, wow, you know, that's Scotty did the right thing there. Billy Donovan seems to be learning very quickly what it takes to coach in the playoffs. And whether that's just a fluke for this series based on this matchup, I don't know. But everything seems to be clicking for them at the right time. And then when you just throw in that top-level supernova star power, That's terrifying. The safer bet, if you're the Warriors, is actually the Spurs at this point.
I'll go a step further with Billy Donovan, why I think he deserves a lot of credit. Remember, this is a college coach. This is a Florida coach that comes in and understands.
Not just a college coach. He went to the lesser university in Florida.
Yeah, damn right he did. The stinking Florida Gators that did win a couple NCAA titles, I have to say. But here's what I notice. Some of the stuff he's doing, I'm sure we can't know. We don't know what he's doing in the locker room. We don't know what he's doing one-on-one with these guys. But what I think is very noticeable that he's doing in this series especially, his use of his timeouts as a psychological tool has been masterful. The Spurs have a way of very quietly going from up 2 to up 17. Right. And we saw this a couple times this year with George Karl, and it was very frustrating where the Kings would play with teams and he'd just let them run Phil Jackson style. But guess what? The Kings aren't the early 2000s Lakers.
Yeah.
What Billy Donovan has done, I think, very well in this series is when he senses the Spurs are going on a run, he ices the kicker. He'll call a timeout. He'll calm his guys down. He understands that Russell Westbrook is uber emotional, both up and down. He calls a timeout, calms them down, calls a play out of the timeout, and sets them on the proper course. So maybe that 10-0 run becomes a 6-2 run. And then Oklahoma City has time to. He's keeping them emotionally invested in the game. I think Billy Donovan's job
is the
focus. He's his psychologist part of his coaching in this series has been to me as if not more impressive than the X's and O's. We'll take a break. Hey, when we get back, we're going to switch up. We're going to talk a little bit of golf with the head pro over at Hagen O's. Has a big event coming up that one of our sister stations is a part of next week. It's Tom Morton. We'll talk to him. And Nate, I got a couple golf questions. I'm sure you do too. And Katie, we're going to get you out. Tom's been trying to get you out on the course for a while.
I know.
He loves you, by the way.
Well, that's nice.
Tom Morton is probably the biggest Katie Christensen fan in Sacramento.
Wow.
I'm just telling you that right now. I'm not trying to oversell it, but I just did. We'll talk to him next. It's a drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Thank you, Jason Ross. All right. So there's all kinds of stuff going on out at Hagen Oaks next week. And that's our partner, our sister station, KNCI, a big part of that. Not just a golf tournament. So I'll be out there swinging and hitting people and messing up.
Not if your back's out.
Oh my God, that's a great point.
Great excuse.
Jeez. I'm actually supposed to see Tom tomorrow. I got a lesson before the big tournament with Tom tomorrow at 11 a.m. Tom, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us. Tom Morton, the guy who runs the whole show over there at Hagen Oaks. Buddy, I'm not trying to throw an excuse at you yet, but I screwed up my back last night at my kid's open house lifting up my son. I think I'm a game time decision. I'm just letting you know.
Not a problem. Just let me know.
Katie, have you met Tom Morton? Tom, Katie, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Katie.
Tom's a big fan. Tom's what we call That's a P1, nice. And we appreciate it. Tom listens to the show all the time, and Tom's actually a huge fan of the two of you, but mainly Katie, Nate. Sorry, not so much.
Blame him.
I have less facial hair. Less.
That's a little bit.
Unproven.
Tom, what's going on next week? Tell everybody about this big, bad tournament.
Yeah, well, like you said, we're partnering up with your sister station, KNCI, and we've been doing it for quite a few years now. It's a event called Golf and Guitars, and KNCI brings out a multitude of great artists, and they actually come out and play with folks like in a pro-am format on Tuesday morning. They come out and play in a big tournament. And then after they all perform at a huge concert at Hagen Oaks, and all raises money for children's charities, and it's just a wonderful event. I mean, we have this year, the headliner is Charles Kelly, who is the lead singer of Lady Antebellum. Mm-hmm. Love and Theft will be there. You have Kanan Smith, Eric Paisley, John Pardee, amongst many, many more, and it's just a really fun event. And what we found is it's amazing. The country music artists are just so terrific as you get them one-on-one, and people can come out Tuesday and just walk around the golf course and meet the artists as they're playing in the tournament. It's just a really cool event.
Well, and don't shortchange yourself, too. Aaron Lewis is Stained, who's now doing country stuff or whatever. He'll be out there. And then you mentioned Love and Theft. I got to play with Steven from Love and Theft last year. And
God, Dave is still geeking out on this.
I'm just being honest. I'm not, like, country is not my main form of music, but playing with these guys and being able to, they're the nicest people in the world.
No lie. After this tournament last year, Dave calls me up and he's like, oh my God, I got to play with the guy from Love and Feth. Have you heard this song?
I was playing
the
song for everyone.
So good. I'm like, yeah.
It was like I was on a date. We like exchanged numbers and texted throughout the year. We're excited about all this. So yeah, it's not just the tournament itself, but you have a chance to go out, see these guys and girls in concert as well, putting on a couple of events there. You can go to golfandguitars.com for more info.
I mean, Tom, you got a huge names with the music, the whole deal. The golf sounds great. You kind of mentioned like a pro-am format, though. This isn't one of those things where I'm going to feel out of place if I'm like a hack 30 handicap or something like that, right?
No.
You absolutely will not, because usually the artists, many of them have actually never touched a golf club.
Oh, I love it.
They're walking around there in their boots and, you know, whatnot and having a great time. But most of them, to be honest, are pretty horrible at the game of golf. But it's not about that. It's about fun and getting to know them. And so many of the people who have participated in the tournament over the years, there's many stories of how they've actually connected with the artists and ended up becoming friends with them. So it's really terrific. And as you mentioned, golfandguitars.com. There's still some tickets left for the Tuesday concert.
And how exactly does it work, Tom? You've got you play the round of golf in the morning, and then is it like immediately after the concert starts? And for people that aren't playing, is you just, the dynamic is you can just come and hang out and then go to the concert?
Right. So again, the shotgun tournament starts at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. And so we'll get a lot of fans. They'll come out literally at 8:30 in the morning as the artists start arriving to, you know, meet them, get autographs and whatnot. But then a lot of them just literally walk around the golf course from, you know, the 10 to 3, 10 to 4 o'clock the tournament's going on, and just to say hi and the meet and greet part. And then definitely right after, there's a huge line of people ready to get in for the general admission. And at 6 o'clock, the concert starts.
There's a gallery, guys. I've never played in a tournament where there's actually a gallery that follows. They're not following you. They're following the artist. They don't care about the golf.
Thanks for clarifying
that,
Dave.
Well, they might with you. Okay? Tom, here's my question. In addition to all the stuff you do, and by the way, Tom does a ton of stuff that you don't hear about charity-wise in trying to get people involved in golf that may not normally play golf. In addition to all that, Tom's a phenomenal teacher. I'm a horrible golfer. I'm not a good golfer historically at all. But going and seeing Tom, my big problem was I slice everything. If you're a right-handed golfer, you're going from left to right, big banana ball. I slice everything. Tom had that thing. I'm not joking. He had my slice fixed and had me drawing the ball literally in like 10 minutes. So Tom, we're trying to get
with all this natural athletic ability.
Tons
Tom.
Of that.
Wow.
Well, Tom,
believe in that, Katie.
Tom will tell you. He's a huge athlete. So speaking of natural athletic ability, I don't know, but if she'll tell you. Katie played professional basketball like 20 years ago, and then she hurt her back doing something I don't know. And we
playing
keep,
professional basketball,
whatever.
Okay, yeah,
playing girls basketball. So we're trying to get her out, Tom, on the golf course.
I sold my golf clubs when I left here in 2010 because it hurts so bad to play. Like literally, I don't do practice swings. I'll go and play like a quick par 3 course and can get 9 holes in because it just hurts. Too bad. So I sold the clubs and I gave it up.
So, Tom, my question is, as somebody who's taught his whole life, are there teaching methods you have where you can take somebody like Katie with a jacked up back and maybe rearrange some things in the swing so it's not as painful?
Absolutely. We actually do a lot of programs with folks that have, you know, had strokes or people that have had lots of different, you know, events that have, you know, put them in a position that makes it difficult to move around and whatnot. But there are many things you can do to alleviate some of that pressure on the back. And Katie, we have a mutual friend, Greg Perry, that I know you saw during the time.
My physical therapist that keeps me kind of walking. Yeah,
definitely. So, you know, I talk to him a lot about these kind of things. And golf is a game you can play your whole life, even if you have some of these issues, and you just got to work around it a little bit. So,
all right. Well, Dave has been trying to sell me on it, Tom.
Okay. So, can I drag Katie with me one of these lessons, and then you can ignore me and you guys can do your thing? I want to get her out of the course.
Well, clearly that's going to happen, Dave, if you bring her. So, definitely go ahead.
Nate feels totally left out. Here's the problem. Nate's the best golfer in this room, so screw you. Yeah.
He's probably the best athlete in this room. Yeah.
Hey, golfandguitars.com. It's a phenomenal event. It benefits some pretty cool stuff. It's not just if you're not a golfer and you're into the music, great. If you're not into the music, you want to play golf, do that as well. It's a gorgeous course, and lots of good people, including Tom. We appreciate your time, Tom, and I will. I'm going to see you in about 25, 26 hours.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Tom.
Seriously, one of the nicest guys in the business. And if you're a golfer and you haven't had a chance to cross paths with Tom Morton, I highly suggest you do. Katie, we're going to get you out there.
Even with
only if Nate agrees to go.
Of course he will.
Okay. I mean, come on. Like, that's a you got to come up with a better excuse than that.
I feel like if I'm going to be drug out there, that at least Nate should be there so he can later make fun of me.
We have to break, but on the old morning show Nate and I worked on, Nate, myself, and another buddy would go out often after the shows, and we would play golf around 10, 11 a.m. Uh-huh. We haven't done that yet in a month, by the way, but I see a time where the three of us go out and golf and take videos and make fun of each other.
Obviously hard to convince me.
Max Scherzer had 20 strikeouts last night. We'll talk about that when we come back. More importantly, let's try to figure out what we can compare that to in sports. What do you compare 20 strikeouts in both team and individual sports? We'll take your calls at 339-1140, your text at 44-1140. We'll break. It's The Drive on KHDK.